it's a roller coaster. You have to expect that it's going to be that way, that there are going to be bags that are exploding and machines that are breaking and chips that are falling on the floor. And
chip, chip, hooray. Welcome back to the Wild Business Growth Podcast. This is your place to hear from a new entrepreneur every single Wednesday morning who's turning wild ideas into wild growth. I'm your host, Max Brandstetter, founder and podcast producer at Max Podcasting, and you can email me at max@maxpodcasting.com to save time with your high-quality podcast. This is episode 167 plus one. That's 168. And today's guest is Stacy Madison. Stacy is the Stacy from Stacy's Pita Chips. She's the founder of Stacy's Pita Chip Company and also the founder of her new company, Be Bold Bars. She is one of the most incredible, inspiring, amazing, just all around awesome, maybe even chiptastic, bartastic entrepreneurs you'll ever come across. And of course, has one of the most badass stories you will ever hear. In this episode, we covered everything from how Stacy's Pita Chips started, actually in the form of a food cart, and how she grew the company all the way to selling it to PepsiCo. We also dive into where Be Bold Bars came from and what it means to be bold. And we wrap up with some wildly awesome questions from the wild listeners answered by Stacy herself. It is the Stacy. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, we are here with Stacy Madison, the amazing, stupendous, I don't think I've used that word, but stupendous founder of Stacy's Pita Chips and Be Bold Bars, one of the coolest, most inspiring people you'll come across. Stacy, so glad to have you on. How are you doing today?
Wow, I love that intro. Thank you, Max. I'm ready to go.
Perfect. Cool. We'll just love your products. And we've had an outpour of support and questions that listeners, fans have for you as well. So we'll kind of get to that as we wrap up this interview. But super excited to dive into your story with Stacy's and Be Bold and some of the other things you're up to. Before we get to the official Stacy's Pita Chips start, I'd love to start with the little food cart called Stacy's Delights. And pita chips wasn't even your main focus at the start. Can you take us through the first time that you actually served pita chips from Stacy's Delights?
Sure. It was really a inventory management reason, if you would like to think of it from the MBA side, which I obviously don't have. But a lot of like, and, you know, when I speak at classes, they love this because, you know, when we were serving sandwiches, you can run out of anything on the cart pretty much, you know, whatever, onions, lettuce, tomato, whatever. But if you run out of bread, you know, everything was served on pita bread. So you always had to purchase enough to plan for a big lunch rush or something. So with all of the extra bread, you know, we had all this fresh bread. And so when lunch was over, we would cut it up and bake it into different flavor pita chips. And then the next day we would hand them out for free to people standing in line. And it was really just an incentive, you know, to do for people while they waited for us to make their sandwiches. That's the whole thing. And you know, in the beginning, we didn't even sell them. We were just giving them away. Then we started to, you know, bag them up. And then, you know, somebody was saying, oh, I'm having a party and, you know, can I get a bigger bag so I can take them home? And then somebody else was like, can you don't have Parmesan garlic on it because I do garlic in my hummus and, you know, I just want a plain one. And that's kind of how Simply Naked came about. And so it kind of just was born out of the food cart. And, you know, it's New England and the food cart is a tough business in the winter.
Right. Yeah. I'm freezing thinking about it, but clearly you had something from the start that people started craving. And here we are now. And I'm like, I can't go a week without eating Stacy's Pita Chips, but Did you even know about that pita chips were a thing before you introduced them as inventory management?
So we had had them once, and like a really, like there was loads of white sugar and cinnamon and stuff. They were good, but it was more like a churro kind of thing, but made from pita bread. So there was a fried one out there, but other than that, there wasn't a lot of distribution of it. You know, obviously ours were baked and we used natural. This was before the whole natural food craze too. And, you know, when the whole all natural food business started to grow, we were kind of like, this is what ours has always been. It's like, this is nothing new. And
right. You're trendsetters ahead of your time.
Yeah. This is really nothing new. Like, why would you put any of the other stuff in there? You know, obviously we were a big fit for the whole natural food business, that whole channel. The chips are not just for that channel. I mean, that's really, we started in the gourmet food channel because when we first started making them, they were like $5 or $6 a bag. Then as we got more and more efficient, we went into the natural foods channel and club accounts and things like that. So obviously everybody loved them, not just the natural foodies.
How does it feel these days that these chips weren't even like your main offering when you started that probably freezing cold Boston food cart?
Yeah, no, they weren't. And, you know, the food cart was really, it was a stepping stone. It was not, we never started the food cart as if that was our end game. We started the food cart because that's what we could afford to do. And we couldn't afford a restaurant. We couldn't afford something else in the food industry. So, you know, you got to start somewhere. And that is where we were. Over the winters, we figured, well, you know, we should start marketing the chips and see if we can get them into some local stores. And we were hand bagging. And, you know, I know you were saying how on Thanksgiving you interview your family. Well, we would sit down around the table and everybody, our Thanksgiving, we would sit down and we would sticker bags. We had a bag with a label on the front, you know, the pretty label, and then a label on the back with the nutritionals, a label on the bottom with a UPC code, a label on the top so you could close it, twist like a coffee bag where you twist tie, you close it down. Yeah. So there are like 4 or 5 labels on one bag. So we had like a little assembly line going around the Thanksgiving table.
Oh my God. So you stickered with your family for Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
The ideal American Thanksgiving family tradition. So let's move from the cart to the brand. So as you mentioned, the food cart, Stacy's Delights, was not your end game, which makes sense, but it obviously served a beautiful place at the start. How did you start thinking about your pita chips as an actual brand that could be sold in stores one day?
It was more like we, like over the winters, we would give it a shot. And we went out and we, you know, we walked some trade shows, talked to other snack food companies. We tried to get a co-packer, but this wasn't something anybody, you know, we went to crouton companies, potato chip companies, we went to all these different companies to try to see tortilla chips, everything, to try to see if somebody else could make this for us. You know, that was not something that could be done. So, so it was a little bit of a process getting there. You know, we did a lot of stuff by hand.
You stickered by hand. So
yeah, we did everything by hand. We had a lot of growing pains, you know, a lot of obstacles to come that we had to overcome. And it was ongoing, even after we were stickering bags, because, a lot of the gourmet food stores were interested in selling them. And you know, we got up to like 900 stores or something. And then one Whole Foods, and yeah, it wasn't even Whole Foods at the time. It was Bread and Circus, and it was before they became Whole Foods, but we got into some of these natural food stores and larger accounts where we could sell to one account and sell as much as we did to 900 of the smaller stores. And we're like, well, maybe we should go that direction. When you start getting to that level of volume, you can't hand sticker bags anymore. And you have to start making investments into equipment and automating your line and, you know, baking faster. And we had, there were a lot of learning curves. We our first bag that we got, and we were shipping, you know, there were a lot of natural food people out in Colorado, and we were shipping out there. And I remember we put our chips on a truck and we sent it right out there. And like all of the bags, when it went up the mountain, exploded.
Oh my God.
We didn't know that you have to deflate them a little. So, you know, at this time they were on a machine so that there was enough room for the bag to not pop. And then they popped. Original bag, it had a little window in it and the chips were sharp and the chips would fall out the front. And yeah, we had all kinds of problems. We really, I mean, we're a psychologist and a social worker that are now in snack food manufacturing. And we're like, oh my God. Yeah. We learned the hard way.
I knew that elevation affected people and professional athletes. I did not know it affected bags of pita chips as well. That's quite the image.
Yeah. So there's like the technology has gotten much better to compensate for that and the structure of the film. But
besides resolving the issue of exploding bags, which I'm sure is a crazy fun issue to deal with.
Oh my God. Yes.
When did you start to feel that, oh my God, this is really picking up. This is really something we've created here.
You know, everybody says, is it the moment that you saw them on the shelf in the store? I mean, that's a pretty cool phenomenon. But if you take that one step further to you see somebody that takes it off the shelf, puts it in their bag and goes through the cashier, through the line and hands out cash for it to bring it home to their kitchen, that is much cooler. You know, seeing somebody pay for it. Or there was one time where I was in the store and, you know, I saw this woman buying them and she put them in her shopping cart. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to tell her that those are my chips. Right. So I go up to her and I say, oh my God, you're getting Stacy's chips. Well, you know, those are my chips. And she looks at me and she's like, no, they're not. They're mine. And I'm like, because they're in her cart. And I'm like, no, I'm Stacy. And then I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I sound like a nut job. And I'm like, oh, never mind. I love those too. And I walked away.
That's fantastic. Oh my God. No, they're not. They're mine. And how important has it been over the years to keep that emphasis on not only being natural, but keeping that delicious taste?
Well, I think that was a lot of the value in the brand when we sold. So there were a lot of things about the pita chips when we sold the company. You know, we started a new category. You know, there were corn-based snacks with your tortillas. There's potato-based snacks with potato chips, right? But there was no bread-based snack. I mean, so that we kind of started our own category. So there's value in that. There was value in where we were located in the store. We weren't in the snack food aisle. And similar, we're kind of doing that with Be Bold Bars also with our new company. We're not in the bar aisle. We're located in the refrigeration, in the refrigerated section, usually the yogurt or the dairy. So there's a lot of similarities in that. So when you're building a company, you have to figure out, well, where is my shopper and where's the integrity? Number one is taste and keeping the integrity of the product. And therefore with the bars, we're in the refrigerator. With the chips, we were over by the deli. People like them with hummus, you know?
Yeah, that's...
I'm sure that's what you do, Max.
Yeah, shout out my fiance, Dan, and I. That's kind of our main food groups is Stacy's pita chips and hummus. That's about it.
But now I have secret cameras in everybody's kitchens. I see you. I see you eating them.
Exactly.
It's like Big Brother, right?
It is. Maybe a potential brand partnership there.
Yeah.
But or brand ambassador, Stacy from Big Brother.
Yeah.
There is something really helpful about being different and being unique. And when it comes to your story, it's where your products are placed in the actual stores. And it's true. Like I know, like when we go to our ShopRite, like there's a whole wall basically of Stacy's pita chips. And like, it's like a very frequent stop for us. And it's in a totally different place than where some other bread products are or where some other chips are. That note of starting your own category is really, really cool.
I mean, if you think of it like real estate, right?
Yeah.
That's the waterfront.
The waterfront, the pita front.
you know, that's where it really is, where we fit. And we talked about this so much because we were like, well, what buyer should we talk to? So when you go into the store, are you going to talk to the snack food buyer? Are you going to talk to the produce buyer? Are you going to talk to the deli buyer? Are you going to, like, what phone call do we make? So that was a big decision. And I think smart one that we did.
I think so too.
Yeah, because we knew it wasn't the snack food buyer, because how on earth were we going to sell our $3 or $4 bag of chips that's 6 ounces sitting next to a 1 pound bag of Doritos or Tostitos in the snack food aisle that stands like not even halfway as large and it's twice as expensive?
I do have to say the family size or pita chips bag is fantastic as well.
Yeah, but we did kind of master the manufacturing in our own way. But when we first started selling that big bag, we had a lot of breakage. A lot of people always ask, well, what's, you know, are the chips, are they the same as, you know, since you sold the company? And sometimes I say, well, in a lot of ways, they're better, because they had like 30 engineers come through the factory and they were able to solve for a lot of the breakage. So where we were, you know, sweeping up from the floor, they don't drop a crumb. It was a, you know, it's really remarkable when I go and I see it now. You know, I still love to go back for a visit and I'm like a movie star when I walk in there, you know. And some of the people are still there.
Do you still tell customers at the store that those are your pita chips? Now that you've technically sold them?
But I shop in the Whole Foods right up the street from me. And I see people buying them all the time. And you know, people stocking them on the shelf, and they'll be putting them on the shelf. And I kind of see them, you know, like if they drop the box, the first thing I want to do is jump on them and say, those break. Don't do that. Don't drop the box. Be gentle. Oh, God. And then, you know, I go back and I still rearrange the shelves. And yeah, it's always going to be that way.
So you have the Stacy's Pita Chips time of your career and the amazing story. And as you mentioned, sold to PepsiCo. And then you have Be Bold Bars, which is what you're up to now, which, like Stacy's Pita Chips, are in a unique place in the store, and they're new and different and healthy and natural. Where did this idea for getting into the bar space, going to the bar, we'll put it that way, where did the idea for going to the bar come from?
Well, it's funny, you know, I mean, there are a lot of great ideas that start on a cocktail napkin, right?
It's true.
Well, the bar was really started. I had a juice bar, and the bars were a very successful product that we launched. I mean, that's how, you know, we sold them at the juice bar. And I was like, well, if we can sell them at the juice bar and we're selling so many at our place, then we should be able to sell them at another place and another place. And, you know, you kind of play the calculator game.
Oh my God. This is your blueprint though. That's like, start one thing. Something that isn't even the main thing starts picking up. Next thing you know, you have a brand that you can scale. That's fascinating.
But, you know, it's like being able to recognize opportunity. There's a lot about growing the company that we know. You know, I started this with my brother and I'm like, dude, just come. You know, he's in there for lunch all the time. Like, just sit down for like an hour and watch how many people buy their lunch and a bar. Watch how people get a smoothie and a bar, or they get something now, they get the bar for later. It's like everybody's buying one of these bars. And like, and then I was kind of like, well, God, you know, can't be blind to this. And if I was going to do something again, this would probably be it. And, you know, are you in? And he's like, well, I'm in, but I'm certainly not in like we bootstrapped and like we did it the last time. He's like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this not by ourselves. We're going to bring, you know, call up some of the people that we started the pita chip company with initially and, you know, have a salesperson and no more of that bootstrapping like we did. It's very different, but in a lot of ways it's the same.
What's something that is completely different about being in the bar food space? You know, bar food sounds different, but you know what I mean? About being in that space versus the pita chip space.
Well, launching a company a month before a pandemic.
Impeccable timing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very different. We're going into a very crowded marketplace. social media. We didn't have all of this social media avenues. So you know, that's all very new to us.
Is social media is a popular thing? I'm not really too familiar with it.
Yeah, I know. And I know, speaking of which, @_StacyMadison, because I really don't have very many followers.
You deserve, I'm sure it's going to skyrocket.
We can look back.
This is the podcast episode that changed everything. So you're welcome.
I hope so. And you know what else has changed a lot? Consumer behavior. The way people shop now versus the way people shopped 10 years ago, it's very different. The way people, and just the whole world has changed so much. So there's a lot that's the same, but there's definitely a lot that's different. There's all new challenges.
And there's something really cool about Be Bold. And if you just check out your website or check out your Instagram or anything, you can see that there's a really strong mission behind the company. And when you check out the team on the website, like you all talk about what your bold is, what makes you bold, and kind of the story behind it there. Can you shed a little light on how, you know, there's more to Be Bold than just the focus on the actual bars?
Yeah. I mean, hashtag what's your bold, right? We like to acknowledge and to reward the positive. And entering into this, the launch of this company, and then having it go on and on. And on top of that, you know, we're a woman-owned business. Some of the ways that this country has gone with women-owned businesses, it had just gotten me dysfunctionally upset. And how to pivot, how to grow a business, how to, you know, we are no strangers to crisis management. But if there is one thing that we can do, especially during a time when everybody is upset or depressed, is reward the positive and share the optimism and, you know, try to get, you know, everybody's version of bold out there. And, you know, it may be, you know, B-O-L-D, one of the things, be yourself outside of your comfort zone, little by little, do it again. Something like that for me, that's what it is for me. It's, yeah, I mean, I got the nicest email the other day from, I got into a Lyft. I was coming home from the airport. And I reach over and there's this black, you know, the seat is black and there's this wallet with this woman's from North Carolina, her credit cards, her license, her phone, everything was in this. And I'm like, oh my God, we can't even call to get this woman. This person is probably at the airport. I told the cab driver, I'm like, I go, this, do you recognize this woman? He's like, oh, that was my last ride, Terminal A. And so we circled around, we went to Terminal A. The driver went inside and he found the woman. And she wanted to come outside, you know, and say thank you. And I said, oh, well, you're very welcome. I'd hope somebody would do the same for me. I mean, you must have been so upset with like just losing everything. The woman couldn't even get on the plane, I'm sure. And so, yeah, so I said, go to Be Bold Bars. check out the website. I got a super nice email from her. Thank you so much for, you know, going out of your way and returning my wallet. And that's just making those, if everybody just does and makes one little difference each day.
Absolutely. I can totally get behind this boldness. And it's really cool and inspiring that you've been able to launch this brand and do something still in the food space, but pretty different. And seeing it grow and blossom. And just another reminder to follow Stacy on Instagram. Just, you know, I'm going to keep doing that the rest of the episode.
You would think that I'd have more, because I think that I'd have some brand equity, seeing as you all have them in your kitchen, right?
Exactly. Well, to be fair, and to quote that customer, they're not your chips, they're our chips. So
that's right.
Oh, it is getting a bit chippy and bar-y. Lots of people love Stacy's pita chips. Lots of people love listening to podcasts. Those are two peas in a podcast. No, one of them is much better to eat. One of them is much better to listen to. And you can even do both at the same time if you want. Now, what if you wanted a podcast yourself? Something for your brand that you can share with the world, interview really, really cool people out there. Stacy, get the word out about whatever business you're doing. And have a ton of fun in the process. If that is something you might be interested in, but you're not interested in spending the crazy amount of time and worrying about every single minor detail that it takes to make this thing happen behind the scenes. Email me at max@maxpodcasting.com. I will help you save time with your high-quality podcast, take loads of that behind the scenes off your plate, and you can focus on just eating Stacey's pita chips and Be Bold bars, pretty much. Email me at max@maxpodcasting.com. Now, let's learn a wee bit more about Stacey. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's get to more of the mind of Stacey and inspiration, creativity. You've done a ton of creative problem solving and a ton of creative ideas over the years. What sort of activity or hobby or just something that you're doing are you doing when you tend to come up with new ideas?
Exercising. Sometimes it's like you know, that cocktail napkin idea. Sometimes there's alcohol involved, like a glass of wine or something, or laughing with friends or
exercising while drinking wine.
Well, yeah, but that's good at the same time. But, you know, you could be joking around with my siblings or something, or up at the lake in New Hampshire, or just usually it's doing something stupid. And then after that, going to a spin class and really thinking about it and going, you know, there's something in that. There is something in that. And, you know, giving it the time to marinate, to think something through so that it's not just, you know, at a 4 o'clock meeting, or it's not just a panic reaction. It's taking a step back and thinking about one thing and giving it that time, that class, that spin class to just think it through. I go to this place, Rev, which is, you know, local right where I am. I do love that mental part of it. And I love having somebody else up there motivating you and like, you can do this. And so, yeah, I think I have to say that's probably when most of the creative ideas come through.
Yeah, and people I've talked to about working out over the years, which it's not like a daily thing. I don't like go up to strangers and like, hey, you should lift. But people who kind of have been resistant about it, I often say that it's even more mental than a physical thing. Like it does such great things for your mind and kind of attitude, and such a great de-stressor. And to your point, it can be such a fantastic way to come up with new ideas. Even if it's not something you act on right away, like maybe it is something that you, to use the term, noodle on for like months or weeks at a time, but it just pops in your head when you're working out. I think that's spot on. What about on the people side? So I'm sure through your journey with Stacey's and beyond, you've met all sorts of inspiring business leaders, maybe some celebrities as well. Who's someone well-known that has left an impact on you based on your interaction with them?
It's always cool to meet other female entrepreneurs, especially those who are a step ahead, like Sarah Blakely, right? She's just remarkable. And we had a lot of similarities and when like goofing around and things like that, when I met her briefly, and I was kind of like, oh my God, you know, if she can, you know, if she can do it, there's no reason why I can't do more than what I'm doing. But not that I'm that, not in a competitive way, just in a, oh, this is something that I love to do. Am I following my own passion enough? So more looking at myself, not comparing to other people, but you know, she was pretty cool to meet. I mean, I loved seeing Michelle Obama speak. She's just amazing. And everybody else who's out there that's kind of spreading positivity and just kind of doing fun and optimistic things. So I also I've been working with a mentor. And she was the former global strategies for Starbucks. And I speak with her every month or every couple months. I just love talking to her and, you know, throwing my ideas out there, like, you know, okay, I'm going this direction, that direction, the next direction, with whether it's an advertisement or a PR piece or the packaging or this, and just getting her feedback just is very reassuring, like having that sounding board. It's a huge help.
The Stacy sounding board. You could trademark that.
Yeah, it's a huge help. And everybody should have, you know, should have that kind of networking or support. It does help immensely, especially from somebody that you so admire, you know.
I'm sure many people, even more people than follow you on Instagram, feel the same about you. So just a reminder to follow Stacy on Instagram. Let's, I do take commission. Let's get to a fan favorite segment called the Wild Business Shoutout of the Week.
The Wild Business Shoutout of the Week.
Well, thank you. I'm
can't wait.
Wild Business Shoutout of the Week. This is where we talk about a creative marketing campaign or ad. Could be a TV commercial that caught your attention. And I'm sure I'll butcher this name, but Anjali?
Yes.
The question mark? Anjali. Perfect. Anjali had a wonderful commercial that still to this day is very memorable for you, makes an impact, makes you smile. Can you share what that commercial was and why it just kind of sticks with you?
Anybody in my age bracket, you're probably going to have to Google this. You might be too young, Max, but, and I am all for women, everything, right? I am full blown, you know, the future is female. Okay. I have two daughters and I'm like gung ho, but this commercial I have, oh my God. So this woman comes out, and it's a commercial for a perfume. I will sing it because the song is catching, and she comes out and she's scrambling, you know, she's got a fry pan and a wooden spoon and like a sexy dress. And she's singing, I can bring home the bacon, banana, fry it up in the pan, banana, and never, ever, ever let you forget you're a man, because I'm a woman. Anjali. And she talks, and then they have a bottle of perfume that comes out, and you know, the soft smoke that goes around her. And in a lot of ways, it's just right now, it's so wrong. But she's saying how, you know, she can do this and she can do that. She can still be sexy. And she's like, oh my God, it's just hysterical. You got to Google it.
No, or just go back and listen to you singing it, because that was beautiful.
I sang it. I did not do it justice.
Oh, you did that. See, you, this whole time you could have been a singer as well.
But, oh yeah.
No, it just sounds energizing and inspiring, and that's great. It also makes me think back to Michael Scott and Daryl from The Office doing the blues with the da na na na. It's the same thing. We'll do a duet, but
it sticks in your head, that da na na na. Perfect.
Exactly, but it just shows that you need to have fun or have some sort of kind of emotional impact on people in order to be memorable. And that one, even though I can't pronounce the name wrong. I can't even pronounce how I'm describing it. It is one that really sticks with you over the years. Let's get to the unusual. So these are probably questions that will make your eyes roll, or maybe you'll just get off and end the interview. So sorry in advance, but the unusual pet peeves, quirks, weird talents. In addition to singing and making pita chips, what's a weird talent you have that maybe your daughters, your family, friends, coworkers, somebody calls you out for that you just have a knack for?
Well, I asked my siblings. I did ask them about my quirkiness, and it's kind of like the flip side. It's like, oh my God, what's not quirky about me? I would eat my food. I have tons of food quirks. So I would eat my food and I would always save like the best bite for last and hope nobody grabs it, right? Because I would have my last piece of bacon on the plate and I would eat everything else because I wanted to eat my one piece of bacon last. So yeah, it would kind of annoy everybody else. Like, are you eating that bacon? Are you eating that bacon? Are you eating that? You know, I'm obsessed with like pens, and I have pens from all over the world. I've stolen one from every hotel I think I've ever been at.
Oh yeah, those are made to steal.
Yeah, and I'm on board. You know, I love pens. I love notepads, notebooks. I hide my Sharpies. You know, my kids were, you know, they're always looking for marker, and they always disappear. So I definitely I had my own drawer in the kitchen, and it's all on my Sharpies. And I said, well, I'm going to show you something a little secret. And I open this drawer and it's got like all these Sharpies in it. I only eat half Lifesavers. Now that they're individually wrapped, you can kind of bite it and you can either save half for later. So all around, like people are always finding my half Lifesavers.
Oh my God. They're finding those, but they're not finding your Sharpies.
They're not finding my Sharpies, but I leave half candies, half halves of everything all around.
Oh my God. That's it. I'll give you a point and a half. Point and a half okay. For that one. I'll call this a weird talent in itself. You kind of blended weird talents with quirks. Which is impressive in its own. So that's great. You took half of each of the... No, I'm just kidding.
I am a creature of habit. Like when I wake up in the morning, I go downstairs, I take my probiotic, I throw in my... I don't even close the refrigerator door. I have this squirt bottle. Like, you know how when you... in a diner, there's the squirt bottle of ketchup?
Yeah.
The plastic one. So I have one of those filled with my liquid vitamin D. So I take my pill, I pop my pill, I lean my head back, I squirt in a tablespoon of liquid vitamin D. That's how I take my probiotic. And I just kind of do that every morning. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a solid routine. And then do you have a pet peeve, something that just grinds your gears a little bit? Other than Sharpies being stolen.
I know. I can't stand when people steal my pen. I can't stand if people take the last thing and don't tell me about it. It annoys the hell out of me. Like my last yogurt or my last, of course, it must annoy you if somebody takes the last bag of pita chips or energy bar or, you know, or be bold bar. Really?
This is true. I mean,
doesn't it just piss you off where you're like, okay, I'm ready. I'm getting ready to go to the gym.
And yeah. Hey, those are my chips.
Yeah. And don't steal my pen.
all the above. That sentiment is the reason that people often when they're nice will let you eat the last of or first bite of whatever you're eating, whatever is yours.
That is true love. That's probably why you got engaged.
I was just gonna say I was thinking of Dana when I mm-hmm. said that. Aw. On that note, let's wrap up with some rapid fire Q&A. And then these are crowdsourced. So we got questions from all over the place. The wild listeners, fans of the show, friends of the program, some family members as well. It's kind of some overlap there that have submitted questions for you because everyone loves Stacey, which should be its own sitcom, by the way. You ready for it?
Sure.
All right, let's get wild. This first one is from Carrie Ray, fellow Wild Business Growth Podcast alum and friend of the program, who says, what is the most interesting recipe you've ever heard someone using for Stacey's pita chips?
When I closed the juice bar, I wrote a recipe book. And this one's actually in the book, but everybody loved it. It's called pita chip chicken. And you take the bag of chips and you just bash it up. You mix it, actually it's good, but you mix it with a little bit of panko and the pita chips and you bake your chicken in it. And it is just so good. It's kind of like baked fried chicken. I imagine I don't have an air fryer, but for those people that do, I imagine it'd probably be pretty good in that. So I think, you know, pita chip chicken, it's in the book and that's not just for self-promoting, but it is really good.
Hey, you can self-promote pita chip chicken as much as you want. No, that sounds delicious. We have like a dual toaster oven / air fryer, so we'll need to try that. I'm a sucker for panko. All right, next one. My cousin, technically second cousin, Andy Mills, asks, what is the weirdest thing you've ever heard pita chips being dipped in?
Oh, it kind of makes me cringe, but people have used it with that cheese whiz, you know, that cheese from a can. Oh,
yeah, like Philly cheesesteak, yeah.
It's just disgusting. But, you know, the chips with cheese is delicious. But, oh, my God, the fact that I can't even, like, imagine watching somebody take that can of cheese and squirting it on a pita chip.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Her health and wellness was in that.
Yeah, exactly. Counteracts it.
But have you ever had those chips with cheese whiz?
It could be. I'm sure it tastes good though. All right, next one. My cousin, also second cousin as well. There's a trend here. Sammy Wolkoff on the other side of the family, who says, what dip goes best with the chip?
You know, of course, the most common is hummus, but I like them with a hot artichoke dip.
Ooh, yes. Well, that was a little creepy noise I just made. I don't know where that came from. I guess that's what hot artichoke does to me.
Oh, my God. Hot artichoke dip is, delicious.
It's the bee's knees. It's the PETA's knees. All right. My dad, Greg, asks, you know, you've made some pivots in your career. How do you decide what to do next?
Well, I think that's kind of organic. Like with the PETA chips, it you know, being able, you know, just recognizing the opportunity with the chips versus, you know, how are we going to grow bigger, faster, and enjoy doing it, obviously, with the chips, or would it be, you know, expanding the food cart or getting multiple food courts or trying to get an inside look? You know, at one time we thought about doing Stacy's at Macy's and trying to do something like that, or, you know, what, and so it was organic growth. And I think that is, for me anyway, what makes a product. For me, it's more something that has proven a life of itself. And it's the same thing with Be Bold bars. Those were a successful product at the juice bar. And I would watch them each and every day. And I would listen to people talking about them. And yeah, I would see the way that people would eat them, you know, crumbling them, you know, on their yogurt, or the versatility that they would, you know, people would get creative and using it in, you know, we made up a Be Bold smoothie. And it's just something that is organic growth more so than a plant.
All right, we're down to the home stretch, the moment you've all been waiting for, this mix of questions from my mom's book club. You ready for it, Stacey? This is another one.
Sure.
All right, perfect. And I have to mention that.
The book club, the Mahjong, oh boy.
Exactly. I don't think it was Mahjong, but who knows? Maybe they added that to the mix. But my mom did want to make sure to mention that she did serve Stacey's pita chips at the most recent book club, and it sure inspired some questions. So here we go. So shout out my mom, Joanne, as well as Sue Poli, Eka Taylor, Joanne Harris, and Beth Bickle. So you got the whole squad. All right.
Yes.
What is your personal favorite flavor? And I'll say for both Stacey's pita chips and then as well as Be Bold bars, what's your favorite flavor for each?
Okay, so my favorite flavor is no longer on the market.
trick question. Trick answer, actually.
I'm sorry. It was called Texarkana Hot, and it was spicy, and it had like a little twang of lemon in the spice, and it was super, super hot. It was one of the flavors that got cut after we sold because it wasn't the best seller, but I truly did think it was our most unique flavor. So that's why we kind of always had it, because it was my favorite. So I would say Texarkana Hot, and I love that served with either a roasted red pepper dip or a guacamole, because then you had the hot and the cool. Again, you can't get them. So the one that's on the market, I don't eat the cinnamon sugar because I am a salty person. I'm not a sweet person. So, I mean, Simply Naked, the multigrain. I love our bagel chips.
What is the latest trend in pita flavors, or a growing trend in flavors?
I think there's a lot of, you know, ethnicity being brought into the snack world, you know, different ethnic flavors, but also a lot of cheeses. So, you know, using a different variety of cheeses and people cleaning up their act with their salts and things like that. More major trends, right? More general market. There are a lot of like niche player trends and a lot of stuff that I feel like is just that you might say, oh, I love this, but I think there's a lot of stuff that's come and go. And that's something that we always try to avoid. Like, for example, when we had the pita chip company, people used to say, oh, can you make us, it was during the whole, the zone and the low carb phase. Oh, you should make a low carb pita chip. I'm like, we work with bread. We're selling toast. You know, it's just resisting that urge to jump on the bandwagon just because something is a trend. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we do not, and especially with the bars, that is exactly what we are not. And people are like, well, why don't you make it more protein? You know, we're not going to go put protein powders in our bar. You get your protein from almond butter, chia. You know, what you see is what you get. You know, we go for the taste and, you know, just the clean product.
And on that note, have you ever had, whether it's Stacey's Pita Chips or Be Bold, have you ever done a contest for fans to submit flavor ideas?
We did. I think that it was our customers that came up with Simply Naked.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so your customers love being Simply Naked. That's the takeaway.
I mean, you just take off your clothes and eat some chips.
that's how you're supposed to, right?
Kind of odd. You were asking about quirky. First started selling Parmesan, garlic, and cinnamon sugar. And the customers were the ones that would say, well, that they wanted a plain chip. That's how we came out with Simply Naked. So, you know, it wasn't so much as a competition, but it's more listening to your customers.
What was, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back that made you say, hey, we're not just doing pita chips, let's do bagel chips as well?
They were delicious. I mean, we, you know, and when it came to product line expansion, it was a natural fit because it was a bread-based snack. It fit with our line of products. We were spending a lot of time, you know, doing like a deal to have hummus, like a co-packed hummus and things like that. So we were going to do pita chips and hummus, but now you're dealing with two different sections of the store. You know, you're dealing with refrigerated, two types of distribution. You're dealing with refrigerated, you're dealing with shelf stable. It was taking a long time and a lot of work, but in the meantime, we were like, well, what if we expanded on the bread-based part of it? And so that's the direction that we went. You know, I wish they had more distribution on those because they really are, they're a great product. And, you know, even now with the expansion, you know, there's different types of the pita chips because they have the pita thins now. So you can get like all the thin ones because people, again, they're listening to their customers. And where people say, oh, I like to pick out the thin ones and eat those first. It's, you know, that's just kind of a product line decision.
This has been the most challenging interview I've ever done because I'm so hungry. I'm going to have a feast, a Thanksgiving sticker feast after
I'm
this,
eating a bar.
Perfect. And then last one, what is your perspective as a woman entrepreneur and any advice you have for other, whether it be current or aspiring women entrepreneurs?
For all of those people that are aspiring out there to do something different, and it's not just female, it's male, it's career changers. Making the decision is really the hardest part. So once you are exercising and you think about it and think about it and marinate and you think about it and keep thinking about it, it's really, you know, what you don't realize is that you've already crossed the most difficult hurdle by making that decision. It's easier to recognize what you want to do by looking at what is it that I don't want to do. But making the decision is much harder. It's kind of like getting a puppy or having children. Once you make the decision, the rest of it's easy.
right. The rest follows. And it's totally easy. No. That's really special. Stacy, thank you so much. This has been a really magical interview and really appreciate all you do and the amazing things that you create, which don't even start out as the original intention is what you create. That still blows my mind, but really, really appreciate your time today. Where is the best place, Instagram and beyond, for people to connect with you personally and then to try out Be Bold Bars?
So @_StacyMadison on Instagram or @BeBoldBars. I'm so dating myself.
I was expecting
right now.
Like the HTTPS colon
HTTP. Thing. So it's BeBoldBars.com.
Awesome. And Stacy, so and Stacy's forever endlessly delicious as well. Last thing here, it could be a quote, a line. If you want to sing again, be my guest. Well, you are my guest, literally. But final thoughts. Stage is yours. Take us home here.
You know, obviously we just talked about so much. It's like, you're just coming out of therapy.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. Reliving all of this, you know, the ups and the downs and, you know, but just realizing that it's a roller coaster. You have to expect that it's going to be that way, that there are going to be bags that are exploding and machines that are breaking and chips that are falling on the floor and kind of being prepared for that crisis management and not just making a panic decision, because it's not good for you. It's not good for your staff either. you know, if you're kind of all over the place, then it's going to make it really hard for your team as well. And support women-owned businesses now more than ever.
Yup. Thank you, Stacy, for just being you, being awesome, and sharing your story and your chips and bars and yum. And thank you, Wild listeners, for tuning in to another episode. Really, really appreciate the questions as always. As a reminder, you can hit me up on social media or shoot me an email if you ever have any questions you'd like to ask a guest. And shout out my cousin Amber Goddard as well, who did not make it into the live recording, but I checked literally like right after the interview was recorded, and Amber had posed a question, which was an awesome question and actually was one that was asked in the interview anyway. So great minds think alike, Amber. If you want to hear more wild stories like this one, make sure to follow the Wild Business Growth Podcast on your favorite listening app and tell a friend about the podcast. You can also find us on Good Pods, where there are some seriously cool podcast recos. And for any help with podcast production, you can learn more at maxpodcasting.com. Until next time, let your business run wild.
Bring on the bongos!